Welcome to Imagine This Podcast, where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all of the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and the incredible, vibrant arts and culture community in a new way.
I'm David Lee.
And I'm Mac Antigua. Yes, I've decided to show up to my own podcast.
Man, you are getting too big for your britches.
You're welcome, David. You're welcome.
So for those of you who don't know, Mac did not plug this last week, but he was on the Funny Parents podcast, which for those of you who don't subscribe to both, is a pretty famous podcast. They just passed their 30,000th listener, apparently.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah. And so, yeah, the concept is talk to funny people and have them talk about being a parent. And so my friends, Pat Shea and Mary Archibald, who I knew in Chicago.
Flex.
Yeah. Who I knew back in Chicago when I did improv. They know tons of funny, like, famous people. And so I think I just got grandfathered in because I used to be coached by Pat on an improv team. So he was like, let's ask this guy. So
it's a great story, though. For those of you who haven't, again, for the non-subscribers.
We'll link to it. But obviously, if you listen to this pod, you kind of get my deal. So you might be enough. That might be enough of me. But Bob Wilfong is on that episode, who actually is he's correspondent for Daily Show. He's been there. He tells an amazing story, too. So there's two parents.
So basically, stay for the whole thing. That's what Mac is telling you.
Stay for the whole thing.
Don't tune out after Mac finishes his 20 minutes.
This may get super meta. I was also appreciative of how Pat read our copy, because I had to boost our podcast on his podcast, and he said breezy
a couple times, actually.
Yeah, which I liked. And if you listen to him, he's kind of chuckling because he knows he's blatantly reading from our copy.
or who would ever describe their podcast as breezy, or also have corporate tropical house beats coming into their podcast,
right? We would imagine. Right. Imagine this podcast would. So again, we're not saying leave now. We're just saying check it out. I'm proud of it. I love being guest. And if you have a podcast, I'd be happy to guest on it.
I didn't share it with the full team, partially because I'm like, God, they spend so much time with Mac already.
It's probably
too much.
That's too much. I'd rather have them discover it and get mad at me. Why didn't you tell me? I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. But yeah, excited to be back this week on my home, which is Imagine This Podcast. I'm excited to be with you, listener. Thanks for joining us another week. It's an amazing week in Milwaukee, David.
It is. The DNC is in town, which is, you know.
Kind of.
Well, it is in town. It's in town being rooted here. It's also across America.
You're a great ambassador, David. I'm going to be the snarky dude. And David's going to be the corporate shill for this event. And I'm going to be the guy in the back of the room throwing spitballs at the whole
thing. It's a little bit different than what we expected, to be sure. But it's still, you know, I think it still serves to remind us that our region, our state is plays an important role in our elections and also in our democracy. And I think we've been talking a lot about the role of art and protest, and also about the role of art and democracy. And what better week than to really put a focus on it? And you know, I think for us, we all know how vital arts and culture are to any functioning society, right? Mm-hmm. They help us face and make sense of the complex issues of our time. They help us try on new perspectives and give voice to the marginalized. The arts and creativity also invite participation that bridge being basically an onlooker and being a doer, right? And really great work inspires insights that that really resonate across disciplines, both artistic and even across into different fields, whether it's business, government, whatever. And because of that, particular sort of crossover effect, right? It's because art fosters imagination, creativity, which are capacities that are so crucial, perhaps now more than ever, in its impact on society and democracy itself. And so, you know, with this week ahead of us, as the Democratic Party is in town and across the nation, sort of thinking about their policy platforms and everything. Wanted to really shine a light on this experience, this cross section between art and democracy. So, Mac, do you have a good transitioning into story time? You have a story about art, democracy, civil society, how it all comes together powerfully?
Yeah, I wish I had a more personal experience. I'm going to flex. Actually, I was really inspired by lately the Institute for Othering and Belonging, which is based out of Stanford University, and the premise of that institute is examining sort of our way of how do we create inclusion in society, but also how do we create exclusion in society. So John Powell is one of the, I believe he's chair there, and it's really influenced my thinking of this work in general, not just my work here, but just in life in general. This notion of how do people feel included, right? And how do our laws and policies reflect that? I say this to say, they just released this white paper about this notion of cultural strategy of belonging. And that really was the first thing I thought of, was reading their piece. We'll link it. It's a white paper that just talks about these amazing examples of how art and culture modeled or invited people to think about who's included and who's not included. And one of the examples they cited on there was something that might have made the rounds, I think, on social media, but one of the artists at the border, remember, you're supposed to build the wall collectively, right? At the border, one of the artists actually built a teeter-totter, at the border, where people on different sides of the border could actually engage, you know, on a teeter-totter, if you will. And simple act, but incredibly, to me, profound way of sort of questioning and interrogating the notion of what are walls for and who participates. And I think, again, what strikes me about that is the power for art and democracy when it's public, right? And it's not behind doors necessarily, but it's actually in front of us in 3D, that we could access it and walk through it, or have it walk through us, maybe. It doesn't hide, right? And it doesn't allow us to hide from it either. And so we talked about public art last week, right? The notions of the power of public art is because you have to engage it. You can't, I mean, maybe you take a different route around that road, but like, you're going to see that statue, you're going to see that thing. That piece, that paper really informs me about, that animates me. I'm excited about how do we have more opportunities like that. And, you know, one more story real quick is, the Blade of Grass is an organization out in New York City, that's really looking at arts, the intersection of arts and activism. And I learned about the Dred Scott, slave insurrection, reenactment. So we have Civil War reenactments, right, of battles. They reenacted, this artist named Dred Scott reenacted a slave rebellion, a slave protest throughout Louisiana. And it's just like, I mean, my mind was just blown just thinking about it, but also going to the website, reading about it, and just the intentionality of like, what does it mean to witness one's own liberation happening? What does it mean to reenact that and show that? And what does that mean today in 2020? To me, when you say, hey, we're going to talk about story time, I knew you said you personally, it's me personally reading stories about it, which even they were so visceral to me and so inspiring that I had to share. And so we'll share those links.
I think part of what you just shared, right, is this idea that like art makes things visible and almost unavoidable.
Yeah.
Right. Which, and in that sense, like even being able to read about these different projects, I think it still sort of has that same kind of effect, right? Where you see it, and if it's the truth, right? If it really sort of reveals a nugget of truth, it's almost as good as experiencing it.
I think that's right. How about you, David?
So a couple of years ago, I think it was 2015, I had the incredible opportunity to join the Aspen Institute's Academy program.
Is that where the Illuminati get together and they decide who wins the Oscars?
So really cool, right? I mean, it was so lucky that I was able to do this thing, because, you know, you spend your, you walk down their classroom halls, and like you look in a room and you're like, oh, there's the global bank talking about global interest rates. And there's like Secretary of State, you know, Susan Rice, you know, doing stuff. And you're like, what's happening here? Right. Like, like, why am I here? How'd they let me in? Anyways, so the seminar program basically is a dialogue series, a Socratic dialogue series on the creation of civil society. And so in the morning, this cohort would like, we would read and actually go through like Socratic dialogue on readings as diverse as like, you know, the allegory of the cave, Hobbes's Leviathan, to even like portions of Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail, right? Like sort of like these important moments of the creation of society. And in the afternoons, we would break and like go listen to music at the Aspen Music Festival, or the resident symphony that they have on site.
They have a resident symphony.
Yeah. it's a place where they do music, right? So
right, okay. Was dinner like lobster tails like every night?
And
like,
dinner was pretty good.
Was also kale good. We've never heard of, like kale we've never been introduced to.
So you had basically the civics learning right in the morning, and then you had the sort of outside being in this incredible campus nature time, and then also this arts engagement daily. And I think the thing that really sort of became really, really clear to me is that like, no matter what we were engaging in, right, whether it was reading about the Declaration of Independence and the framing of the document, or listening to a piano concerto, was that these people were just really trying to solve problems, and solving problems in the ways and the tools that they had, with the knowledge that they had at the time that they had it.
Right.
So whether it's through like a burgeoning republic, trying to figure out how to bring people together through a founding document, really trying to establish rights and responsibilities, or if it was a Bach, right, trying to like write himself into these interesting musical corners and figuring out how to resolve musical phrases. So so that was all very interesting. And then of course, like for the folks who were there, everybody who goes through an Aspen Institute seminar program, this is a tradition, right? They have to produce a production of Antigone. So that was in addition to all of the other stuff that was going on. And so, you know, for our class, it was in 2015, this was, you know, in the heels of Ferguson. And so Antigone, which is all about, you know, the laws established by the state, how the state views its enemies, and then also how that sometimes can be in contradiction with divine laws and sort of human morality, right? And so it was just incredible sort of being there that week to sort of see all of these different streams come together and see it be practiced in so many different ways, right? From the actual readings and sort of being engaged in the academic sense of it, and then sort of seeing and participating in the arts side of it. And then also just having to do a arts production with your fellow cohort. It was just a really incredible experience, sort of bringing together this sense of arts, civic engagement, and democracy.
So, you know, as we head into this week, David, we transition to our guest. It's a reminder that the Democratic National Convention, or any national convention at all, at some point was trying to solve the problem of who do we put up for a presidency, right? Maybe in the last 30 to 40 years, in the age of television, it's become a brochure, if you will, a promo, but at its heart, right? It's this notion of what are we doing next, right? This question of what we're doing next, and that is happening technically in Milwaukee and beyond. And we're excited on this podcast, the intersection of that is some amazing art that's happening. And we're so excited to have Dasha Kelly Hamilton, creative change agent and Milwaukee poet laureate, who's got two exciting projects this week that coincide with the DNC, that merge together these ideas we've been talking about, is that it's arts is a powerful lever in democracy. Coming back from the music break, Dasha is going to join us about The Road of Democracy, which is curated by Milwaukee Downtown Bid Number 21. It features the visual imagery of Della Wells, with a new poem by Dasha Kelly, and the State of the Union in stanzas, another project that's happening today. It's a roving pop-up poetry project. After the break. Welcome back, Dasha Kelly Hamilton. We're so glad you're willing to come back, and hopefully we kept the green room the way you like it.
You do. You have my favorite snacks. I see that we've tidied up this little couch area in the corner. It's wonderful. I'm glad to be back.
To be real, Dasha, your writer is very specific. You want seitan. you only drink apparently Ecto Cooler, Hi-C Ecto, which I thought was a very unique request. Artists have to artist, and so we have to honor the craft. We have to honor them and appreciate. Well, hopefully, we can accommodate all the. You wanted like a Persian tiger, like in the corner, and that's really hard to get on short notice. But we did it.
In these pandemic times, we had to actually ship all that stuff to you.
Yeah, we actually had to ship it to your house, which is weird. And just keep the receipts and everything. We're gonna return everything.
I just appreciate being taken care of. That's treat an artist like an artist. Thank you so much. That is the wave of the now, not the future of the now.
To your lips, to Yahweh's ears. We are so honored to work with you on the 414 Day video. And you're featured on MK Arts Forward. So we couldn't resist. Usually it's like, wait, we're booking Dasha again? Yes, because of these amazing projects, Road of Democracy and the State of the Union in Stanzas. So we can't keep up with you. You're so prolific. You know, and I'm on Instagram and I'm seeing everything in the retreat. Like, hey, come watch this, come to this training at the retreat and do this.
Yes.
You're turning it up, right? And again, you're prolific and we're so grateful you're taking time out of your generation, your creation to hang with us to talk about this exciting project. So
cool. Thank you for this.
Yeah. So welcome. Thanks for being here. How did the project come together? Give us a little origin story about how Road of Democracy came together and Brad Pruitt and Della Wells and yourself.
Sure. I received an invitation to be a part of a conversation. We've got an idea. And my favorite word is if, so I was already in. I was already in. And knowing also that I'd be working with Della Wells in some capacity. So I was doubly in.
Yeah.
And what intrigued me about the initial invitation was we want to have this exhibit, this installation. We would pair a poem with Della's visuals. Mm-hmm. And so initially I'm thinking through, okay, what piece do I already have? I said, oh no, I'm going to create a new piece. I could definitely do that. And then when I understood the title, so as opposed to Road to Democracy, it's Road of Democracy. And you know, you have those moments in a conversation where your brain is just, is sticky with something that was just said. There are other words that are still happening, but I didn't hear them because I'm just, my brain is already taking apart and landing on this idea of. I'm sorry, what did you say? No, I was just, I'm in.
I'm doing the thing. Democracy.
And for me, it literally was that tiny little word in the difference in Road to Democracy suggests that we all know where we're going and how to get there. And that we all agree on direction, on destination. And the Road of Democracy talks about the work that we still have to do. It talks about the this actual foundation that we all are walking on. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're going toward a place and a thing, and there are bends in the road, you know, carry this metaphor out, but just being able to speak about what it's made of, what it's holding, how it's holding us and not, was really exciting. And then you add the craft part, knowing that it's going to be paired with these banners. And it was getting a sense of, so then you get into the logistics of, okay, how many words? So this can't be super long. So the narratives can't be too long. So then it was each of them had to be a poem within the poem, because each of the stanzas needed to stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciated that challenge too, you know, of making it, also making it work.
It was not that it's like a reality show where it's like Chopped, where you go like, here, go make this work. But it was kind of like that. Like, it's got to fit in like this size.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, some of it's visual because of Della. So that did influence, even though, like, again, you were already on a flight, if you will, when you heard of, you still had to work with the contours, if you will, of the design challenge, if we're going to borrow from Project Runway or something.
Absolutely. That was my jam too, by the way. That was my jam.
It was so inspiring watching you work, because I was able to participate, I think, in two or three of the calls. Mm-hmm. And the one where we actually got to read your poem for the first time. Mm. And at the same time, the banner people were like, oh, these words won't fit. And I'm sort of still stuck on the poem, and you're already getting to like, how do we get stanza two to get all the words in the right place, right? And it was mm-hmm. It was really incredible to watch. Like, I don't know how you did that, right? Like, how do you get like this incredible poem down to your point, right? Almost a set like these other mini poems that sort of like then ladder up to mm-hmm. the main thing, which is so beautiful. And I think I may have texted you in that one call. The lines speckled with quartz, conflict, sweat and sand, limestone and gall. Mm-hmm. Right? Like it's wow.
And Tasha, isn't that so true?
Yes, absolutely. The truth defends itself, right? The truth.
I read that and I had an image for me. This is how it landed down on me. This notion, again, this is gonna get kind of weird. I'm gonna own it.
Bring it.
It's not. Sometimes it's a linear sense of time or a linear sense of beginning, middle, and end. Mm-hmm. I had this image of this one like stretch of road, if you will, but simultaneously we saw through the different eras, the different ways that road was being built or being blocked or who got to be on it. And it was simultaneously, yes. If that, you know, like, and that was like almost not like it's a montage of a movie, but it's like this wave of like, anytime I look at a stretch of Water Street, that has happened, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. If it wasn't the socialists, it was for mm-hmm. civil rights and the housing, and you know, and that's all part in this moment. And who knows in the future, if you buy that notion of we're all in one, that's where I got word. We're all in one universe right now. So anyways, that's where the poem took me, because this notion of paupers, barons, newly born, newly departed, to me, it just made the sense of time is not linear, but rather it's almost this thing right now, all condensed mm-hmm. together. And your poem to me elicited this notion of take it all in, almost like when you think of that. I'm lifting my voice because I'm getting super excited. What is that? When Sagan talked about, if you looked at the
yes.
at the calendar of our universe, you know, like our time on Earth is a week in August. Like that's really that's what I had
at best, and that's generous.
To me, your poem kind of reminded me that of this overall experiment about what self government. You know, this notion of the democracy is one element of self-government. And again, being human and anywho, that's, I just want to lay you, that's how it landed on me. That's what
I appreciate that. So it's one of these moments I've had experiences where someone comes to tell me what my poem meant. And that's not at all what I meant when I wrote that. But at the same time, as we know with any art form, what the person got from that line or that stanza, I can't take that from them. Oh, it reminds me of your dog. Yeah. I wasn't thinking about a dog at all. But if that's what you got from it, that's what you needed. But how you explain it, Mac, is precisely what I'd hoped people would experience, is that it is a moment in time. And I'm right with you on this multiverse conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's a moment in time, but it's a moment that's happened multiple times
across
the experience of time. And I also wanted to make sure that, I think I shared this with someone in talking about the project, I wanted it to be an honest story.
Yeah.
So it's easy to, it's easy to fall into romantic language about concepts. And democracy is a concept.
Yeah.
Even though we are a democracy and our government and our nation is structured as such, it's still conceptual, because if we had it right, I'd have written a whole completely different poem, right? But owning that it is a concept also means that there's always an opportunity to evolve it. There's always an opportunity to have fresh conversations. And where we are today is, in my opinion, locked into an idea mm-hmm. of democracy or an idea of freedom, an idea of gender, an idea of blackness, an idea, they're all these concepts. And if we don't allow for a sharing of what's happening in everybody's minds, you know, mm-hmm. they're all concepts, they're all ideas, then what we're demanding of a whole nation is to follow along something that hasn't been founded or proven. It worked great for one person, or it worked great for, to your point, Matt, one moment of time a long time ago. So let's expand this and really explore the concept of democracy, of freedom, of race, of gender, of citizenship. And I appreciate being able to move that needle a bit through art, through poems of all things.
I am just secretly basking the fact that I think I got an A in the oral quiz, Professor Hamilton's class. Your 301 class. I feel like, all right, I made it. I got the midterm. I can go party now. I can go slack off
because I'm going to pass the class. You were exempt from the finals. Exactly. You're exempt from finals.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter. I'd have to Zoom in the meeting anyway, so it's all good. Like, but all seriousness, I was so excited about this project. And anyway, you get this a lot. You get people telling you, man, I love your poem, and you're so graceful how you accept letting me have this moment.
I think the other thing too that I just want to underline, because what I love about how what you'd said just now, Dasha, about like how you got stuck on of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that was a typo. The project was originally supposed to be called Road to Democracy, and I think they mistyped it. And now, like, it has become the central organizing thought of the poem, of the project, of everything, right? And it's incredible that like this sort of like the chance of that happening, right? And it's so perfect. It's
he didn't make a mistake. He uncovered what the universe, you know, there and
right.
You
know, he didn't know.
Isn't the universe impressive? The universe is impressive every time, because he didn't. You're right, David. He did mention that it wasn't. We're going to change it. No. Don't change it. That's the poem. That's the conversation we need to have. It has a website now and everything. Boom.
It's really, really cool. We're introducing a new segment in our podcast. It's called Dish on Miss Della, because, you know, she is the most magnificent person that anyone can ever be, and it is our job to help share the incredible magnificence of Miss Della Wells. And so I will share that when I got the job here, I got this lovely email from Della Wells to Mr. Lee about like congratulations on getting this job and how she looks forward to working with me. And we make a coffee date, and we go out to have coffee at Colectivo on Prospect. And as we're sitting there talking, and she's sort of regaling me with all of her great stories, this young college student comes up to her and is like, excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm such a big fan. I've been working on, you know, I think she's doing an art project, or she's a teacher at some school, and she's using Della's work as curriculum. And it felt to me like sitting with George Clooney, right? And Della Wells is so just like nonplussed by this. Right?
She's
just
at
all, right? She's just like, yeah, thanks. On your way, right? You're very like, just sort of like, just nondescript, not impressed way. And I was just like, wow, I want to grow up to be like her.
Just like her. I have the same experience, and I love this new segment. It should happen on
all the time,
everywhere, all the time.
All the time.
I don't want to say it's a dichotomy so much, but I don't know. I still don't always know what to expect from Della, right? Mm. So it's not that she isn't warm, but she's not pouring sugar on strangers, right? You know what I mean?
I love that.
She's not that person, but she absolutely is warm, and she absolutely is a sweetheart, and she absolutely is really clear about who she is and what she wants and what she doesn't. So because you don't know necessarily how to approach her, she has a serious expression most of the time, and it's just her face. It's just her face. But she's so incredibly generous with her experience, with her art journey, and her encouragement. I've known some artists, you know, visual artists particularly, who she's worked with, and the advice that she gives is straight ahead. The time that she makes for people to understand how to carve their own journey, how to understand the business, the value of genuine relationships. And that's without necessarily having to, you know, she's going to have a coffee with you, but she's, you know, she's also not trying to become your best friend if that wasn't destined to be. And sometimes you can, I know we've all been in that experience where someone has, I don't want to say gone too far. You can't go too far with building authentic relationships, but where it becomes really transparent, I should say, where they're building a relationship where this is transactional. And that balance of knowing that you want to network, the balance of appreciating it's, there's a huge value in just getting to know somebody's story, whether anything happens with you and that person in that story or not. And then going out and just collecting business cards, right? So some of it comes with maturity. Some of it comes with, again, being clear about who you are and who you're not. But Della, I've been able to observe her more than I've had the opportunity to work with her. So I was, again, that's what had me double down, say yes to the project, to be able to work with her closely. And even with this, it was, we had a conversation. Hey, here's the draft of the poem. I want you to see it first, Della. What do you think? Well, I knew that you'd do fine. yes, ma'am.
Do you agree? I mean, you're like...
Do you, is this okay? So really quick story. So we had this phone date, this phone conversation set up, and I've got my notes out. I'm ready to have feedback. And do we need to talk about which language goes with what image? And so when she answers the phone, I'm like, hey, Dylan, how good is me? Hold on. Sriracha. I was like, what is happening right now? So she was, I believe she's out with her grandkids, and she know nothing else. She's about her babies. So to also let me know, she had not carved, we're not going to be on this phone all day. Well, we're not gonna, that's what we're not going to do. You're going to ask me your questions, and then I'm going to get back to the sriracha with my grandbabies whenever you get done. So I loved it. I love it. So it's like, I can see her face too, David, that coffee table. It's nonplussed.
Yeah.
Receiving it graciously, and then and she's done.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's so, and for her work to be featured, it's so vibrant.
Yeah.
And especially I often associate collage, you know, you need to be on it. You need to see it because you visually see how tactile. You want to touch it. You're not supposed to, but you want to. So how it shows up visually in photographs. And again, I'm on the other side of the art world. I deal with words and pages. So I'm not an expert on photography and visual art, but as a consumer, for her work to pop the way that it does, whether it's the actual three dimensions of the collage work or a picture of it, says so much about her, the story she's telling, the materials that she's chosen, and just her aesthetic of framing a narrative. So I'm a huge fan of her work and her as a human being. So I'm glad that you have this segment.
I'm so grateful for your lovely story about it an amazing segment. I just, my comment, because I've worked with her in our work groups, she comes to our work groups, and I get humbled, you know, and I as I listen, I guess my best way of thinking about Della, she just reminds me of someone who just strips away the artifice and is excellence. Whatever excellence means to you goes up in her. And there's a sense of like, well, why aren't you being excellent right now? Why am I being excellent right now? I only have this much time with you. So let's be excellent together. She doesn't say all these things. This is the unsaid transaction that's happening. And I think the people that get it are automatically excellent. And if anything, I lift up my game as a human being, like when I'm around her for that short time.
You better.
And then she's gone. It's just like, okay, I can go back to watching trash TV or having negative scripts about myself. Because you just can't have it in her presence. It's just not allowed. It's just not.
No,
and
I
think about the amazing artists that we have known, Maya Angelou's or the Hurstons or all these different folks. To me, there was a trend like that. Like people, their contemporaries would say, they held themselves in this way of excellence all the
time. That's a great comparison.
Graceful excellence. So anyway, that's what just came out. I mean, as I heard your stories, that's what for me. And
the thing that wraps all this up for me is she's just unapologetically herself, right? She's just her, and she's got her time. She's got the time she's going to spend with you. And if, to Mac's point, right? If you're not excellent, she's going to make sure that she is. And that story, Dasha, of like, yeah, and you do fine. That's like, that's so her, right?
Even her Facebook feed, she just shares these articles almost without comment, and I get it. Like, I know what she's doing. I know the vibe. You know, it's like, yeah. And just one little, you know, one little commentary sometimes about our current, you know, 45. Like, she'll just make one comment, and it's just like,
it's like a sentence, right?
And all, but it almost felt like a sigh
this right here
going through. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just so like, I get it. It's all graceful. Anyway, thanks for playing Dish on Miss Della, and our next guest is going to play Dish on Miss Dasha. So that it's going to keep us this chain.
We're just gonna
keep this chain going. We'll be sure to
exquisite
share.
Exquisite corpse.
but it's also bring in Brad Pruitt, Della Wells, yourself. When I saw this come together, this is like those super groups, like Monsters of Rock, you know, just sort of like coming together, you know, almost, or like the Avengers, except for arts. You know, it's like, wait a minute, what's going on? What is that? Can you talk about the film aspect, the different dimensions of all these projects coming? Could you speak to that as well? Or
sure. As it's been explained to me so far, so that's a component of the project that came together in the middle. So another thing too, I want to point out that this all came together super, super fast, right? So from the first invitation to, you know, the banners being printed happened in like 4 weeks.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
So all of those pieces. So in the middle, it was getting Brad involved. And so he is going to create a film of Bedell and I just talking about our inside or our experience. Of course, how the project came together, but we just as citizens who also happen to be artists, we also have our own opinions and experiences about the conversation of democracy. So it will be a way to also continue amplifying the discussion that I've been able to call this point every call to say, hey, this is great. It's going to be beautiful. And then what? And then what? This is an amazing opportunity for an urgent conversation.
Yeah.
So how do we continue the dialogue past the non-DNC, right? How do we, you know, one of the things I suggested, for example, is you can have one of these images and then take one of these stanzas. Every stanza is a conversation, you know, is a conversation prompt. So the downtown bid, and this is a chance to have a different discussion or prompt people, businesses in the bid, you know, send them out as cards or what have you. Have this discussion with your coworkers or your team, or take it home and talk to your spouse or your partner. What are your ideas about this? And then go call up the other bid across town and figure out how we can have this dialogue across the city. Mm. So part of the interest in the film is animating the process of the project, but of course also putting forth just a couple of thought nuggets about the road of democracy. And this will be available September. So I will film soon. Only thing I've been told is Brad said, how do you feel about performing in the middle of the street? Bring it. I love it. I want to do all of that. So I'll have it memorized and I'll spit that poem as I'm walking down. So they're figuring out what street they can block off. I'm down for all of that. So just imagine that out there. Yes, it'll be a conversation about the art that's hanging downtown, but done well, and I know Brad will do it well, it will also be something to get people thinking about this road that we are all on. So it's a chance to extend it.
That's really great. And I really want you should tell this to Brad, but don't let him know that we're monkeying around with his creative style or his vision. But I really want you to be doing the poem. You know how you know those videos where like somebody's walking and the background changes, but they're still walking in stride, right? So imagine you're doing the poem down Water Street, down North, down KK, down Mitchell. So it's like all of these roads, right, are the roads. It's not just water, right? It's every road.
Ooh.
Look at that. The film guy. Another film guy.
So talented. Well,
right. No, but Dasha's going to pitch it. And Brad's going to be like, wait, what are you? Stay in your lane, Dasha. What's going on? Josh is going to get in trouble because David's the one. David's the guy who brought it.
I was going to say, that's what I'm definitely going to sell David short. Well, David said it. Was not me. This is David said it.
Yeah. Yeah. David Lee. You can email him at dlee@imaginemke.org.
So in addition to Road of Democracy, which is out now, the banners are up. I was even downtown yesterday and saw some electronic advertisements for the banners on water. So that's all very exciting. People can go check it out right now. There are kiosks outside of the Marcus Center. But on Tuesday, today, you will be joining a group of poets to deliver poems on issues in the national conversation. So sort of in addition to what's going on with the DNC downtown as well. So can you talk a little bit more about that and all the stuff that's happening today?
Absolutely. So we're going to be giving a State of the Union in stanzas. And with that, we, at the very beginning of, not the beginning, but at the point when planning for the DNC, there was an invitation for different arts groups to gather and figure out how to have a presence, how to interact with attendees, how to. So the poets gathered, I imagine the musicians gathered, the magicians, the caterers, whomever, all the different art groups had their discussions. And so there was a collection of poets and literary organizations that came together just to brainstorm. And then we find out that the DNC is what it is. So I kind of set aside, and it really didn't move much further at that point. So there was going to be a breakfast of laureates, and we were going to, I know our state laureate had an idea of putting window clings throughout the city. And just as we all know how things changed, beginning in March. So the way the universe works, I got a text message actually from another guest, Brandon Minga. Mm-hmm. So for those that listen, Brandon is a fabrication artist, sculpturist, metal person. And so he sent an image of this tricked out flatbed truck. And he was like, hey, you want to do some poems on this? And I was like, and I thought he was inviting me to participate in a particular event. I'm like, well, that could be. Let me know the date. Which like, no. I mean, do some poems on this. Just you. Oh, you know, hairs on my chinny chin chin, you know, stroking those. And the idea light is above the head. And so I reached out to some poets and just kind of just thought about it and put some and thought about the impact, and it would be fun. It would bring back this idea of having this presence. And what do poets do? We have conversations, we put national discussions, common and certainly uncommon philosophies we're able to capture in text. And then you get folks that are really great as spoken word artists taking those poems and performing them. Mm-hmm. It becomes a whole different show. So we are going to be we'll be at the Wisconsin Center. We're going to be in front of the kiosk at Marcus. And I believe the third stop will be on the other side of the perimeter, more towards the third ward side. So we're going to just drop anchor and spit poems. So I've got a poet who's got a piece about incarceration. Another poet's got a piece about the earth. Another poet who has a piece about racism. Another poet who has a piece about gender issues. Just all the things that we all are talking about. And it just, it's an opportunity to remind folks, not that people don't know, and not the folks that not all, I don't want to all put out there that poets are the only ones who are conscious about this national project called Democracy. But it's going to be exciting to be able to support this endeavor, virtual or not. It's going to be exciting to, in a creative way, not really a protest, but definitely a projection of unique voices. And what I've learned over these years of running open mics and poetry slams and coaching poets and traveling and such, I tell my youngest poets especially, every single time you get on the stage, every single time, I don't care what room, I don't care what stage, there's someone in that room who needed to hear you, needed to hear your version of reality, needed to see someone who looks like you, needed to
be introduced to an emotion or an experience that is completely different from your own, but now they're looking at a human being that's sharing it, and they'll remember that. Like, I go back to, I listened to a young person do a poem about Tourette's, goodness, easily 10, 15 years ago. And it has, and it gave me a clarity of what I didn't understand about the condition. And I can still see this young man doing this poem. So it gives you that space to humanize these conversations. Like I was saying before, about these concepts, freedom, democracy, racism, equity, important, and they're valuable, and they're essential to us being good humans on the same planet together. But they're ideas. So if we can hear multiple ideas of how to approach them, it just makes all of our ideas richer. So, and what better way to do that than through art and with a poem? So it'll be exciting to be able to contribute to many of these national conversations and showcase some really incredible talent. So it'll be myself, Peggy Rosga, who's a state poet laureate, Mario Willis, Sam Prakarski, Unique Russ, Raisha Farmer, and Alida Carlos Whaley. So we're covering generations, we're covering sides of town, we're covering skin hues, we're covering perspectives, and we're going to have a great time.
And it's going to like just tour, if you will, and then you kind of drop and do the piece. Okay.
Yep. So we'll
go to those stops. People can witness
those
stops.
Yep.
Great.
And so since we'll be on wheels, you have a suggestion of where else we should stop?
You taking requests? Is there an app you just punch in the address and you guys are just kind of...
Man, if only I'd had more time, Matt. If only we'd had more time. We could have... It could have been Uber poems up in this piece.
Dash a trademark it. Trademark it today. We'll make sure you get paid on that idea, because that's right. That is happening. I just want to mirror back, you know, as you know, you're an artist. You can't help but be poetic whenever, you know, and you're just talking. Mm-hmm. And it's this notion of, again, going back to this notion of humanizing. And I think in 2020, when the algorithm drives everything and we're looking at screens all the time, I am incredibly more aware of the importance of flesh, blood, voice, and presence. And that's what this reminds me of, just the crucial importance of that, that we're not Twitter bots, you know, we're not comment threads, but rather we're breathing, and we physically share space with each other. Right. And that makes, I think when we physically share space, or when we witness someone delivering that story in front of us, and their truth, to humanize means there's something about shared grace. There's something about getting to our better selves, getting to our Della, you know, our inner Della somehow.
Getting to our inner Della.
So, you know, unlocking our inner Della wells. And I just love, I'm struck by. I love that idea. And I can't wait to find y'all on Tuesday to witness that in person. So I'm excited about that.
This is, I know, has come together pretty quickly. Do you have the times for each one of the spots set up so we can get people out to the right places at the right times?
That's a really great question. So not exactly. So I know we're going to be out between 1 and 3.
Okay.
Well, between 1 and 3.
But stay and all of our socials.
Follow them. I'll have it ready on my social. So as we're packing up and getting ready to set out, so I have a, you know, if we... 1 o'clock, we'll probably, by the time we get out, we'll start off at the Wisconsin Center. So we'll be there definitely by 1:30.
Okay.
And we'll circle back around to the Third Ward and end up at the at the Marcus Center. Mm-hmm.
So if our listeners haven't perceived a theme from our show today, the show is really about the importance of art and democracy. And art, particularly as a function of democracy. So I guess the million-dollar question, Dasha, is, you know, as our city's poet laureate, as a creative change agent, and with the DNC in town for these next few days, why do you think art is so vital to a functioning democracy?
Art gets in between the bricks, you know. So bricks are hard, they have sharp edges, they're heavy, and those are laws. Those bricks are
expectations, those bricks are finances, those bricks are exactly what they sound like, these pieces that build a society, that build a culture, that build a shared understanding, that we agree on or not agree on, but they're there. And what art does is it gets in between those hard, sharp-edged things with a different hardening, with a different support, with a different connector. And art gives you a chance to make sense of those bricks, right? So there's a fact and then there's truth. I have a session where I tell people they're not the same. So we can have the same set of facts and I still walk away with a different truth than you. Because I digest those facts based on my life, based on my perspective, based on where I stand, based on what I've been taught to believe, what I've come to teach myself to believe, all of those pieces. And someone hearing me explain my set of facts as my truth, it doesn't necessarily make someone question their own, but it does make you remember that there are different holdings between these bricks. There are different chemistries between these bricks, all of these rules and expectations and laws and ways to go that we all share, we all agree, but we're not all the same. And we're not supposed to be, right? So what art gives us a chance to do is just to be reminded and to celebrate all of the ways that it's possible to be human, all the ways that it's possible to fail, all the ways that it's possible to fall in love, all the ways that it's possible to be a success story. And it helps us step back and look at this big old wall of bricks in a more complete way, in a more whole way, hopefully in a more reverent way, right? So you just know literally, just like we talked about the road, what it's made of, what this nation with this cultural human beings are made of. And I don't have to like the version down at the other end of the wall. I don't have to like, you know, your approach to love or your idea of nature or your relationship with, you know, parenting or any of those things, but to know that it exists and it's completely different from mine, I need to be reminded of that. And then every now and again, actually more often than not, you're going to find yourself celebrating other experiences and opinions and gripes and all of that stuff that you don't carry, you don't hold. And it's so easy in these days to be pointed towards, these are statistics and these are definitions and these are the rules and the laws and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we need that, but that is not the whole picture. It is not the whole story. And art gives us a chance to remember the human part of building all of those. It's a human that wrote the copy on that website, right? It's a human that scored that music that they're gonna play at the non-DNC, the non-RNC. It's a human that designed that logo. It's a human that captured things that we know and turned them into emblems of things that we feel and understand. So arts gets us in between the things that we think we know and reminds us that we're allowed and expected to feel the entire human experience. And it doesn't stop at the top of our brains. It's your whole body, it's your whole experience, your whole existence. And artists do that. And I've even moved myself over the last few years to be reminded of using the language creatives. Right. So I had a really good colleague friend of mine who said, you know, Dasha, once you start talking about artists over or instead of creatives, it's just another form of elitism. I was like, you're right. You're right. And it also serves all the purposes. So being creative is just imagining something that wasn't there before. That outfit that shouldn't go together, but it does, that shortcut to your job that you figured out. And our brains are already designed to do that. That's what a brain does. It makes connections that weren't there every day, all the time. Right now it's happening. Yep, happened again. Yep, again, happening right now. So as an artist, you take that brain process and you make it into something, you know, a dance, a poem, a song, an amazing slice of cake. Right. So having a conversation about what creativity does will be the next wave that we'll get to, so that we don't malign people who've chosen to be artists as people who have wasted a talent, or folks who are going to starve or don't have something to contribute. Like I've been telling folks for years, don't call us when it's time to do the ribbon cutting and a grand opening because you need a poem and a mural and somebody to play at the opening. Have us at the table when you're building all of that.
Yeah.
Because we are also strategists. We are also problem solvers.
Yes.
So having art and artists and creatives at the beginning of all of these conversations is going to make them all end better.
Dasha, as we transition to the next question, I'm reminded of Mario Cuomo, who once said, "We campaign in poetry, but we govern in prose." So we're moving to governing in prose, because we're going to make you the arts and culture czar of Milwaukee. for just two minutes, Dasha. So now, as the arts and culture czar,
that's a tenure I can handle.
What is the most first and most important policy that you would make now as the czar?
My first and most important policy as the art and culture czar would be to mandate that every adult every year has to have a specifically an art experience. And they have to do some reflection in how that art experience either made them think differently or celebrated something, a memory of their own. Because they think about a lot of folks who say, "Oh my goodness, I haven't been to the museum since I was in sixth grade and I took that field trip." Well, you have to go this year. Because it's Dasha's the czar and it's now a law. Or your entire Netflix account's gonna get shut down. I'm just saying, things can go bad. Things could go badly for you. But what it invites people to do is where it's not this foreign, "I did something super special today. I went to the symphony. I did something really incredible. I rode down and checked out some of the murals." You have to do this. And if you don't do it regularly, you have to do it at least once a year. And once we get that rolled out, and I'm going to continue my term, it'll have to be quarterly. So four times a year. But we're going to start, at the basis. We have to get all the infrastructure in place. We're going to track it.
You are in prose. Yes. You thought about it.
But just think about the fact that you take in art, right? So both of you, this is your world and your life and your work now. And you have, there are people in your personal network, family and friends who think that's odd. And think it's curious and find it miraculous that you would invest any of your time in this thing that it's only been, or so many people, their exposure to art, be it theater or dance or whatever, has been through field trips in school. And then once you're out of that net, you have that net pulled away from you, what is the invitation to continue with art? And then on top of that, the way art is introduced, the only things as an adult, the only things you thought counted were ballet and the symphony and traditional theater, for a lot of other reasons. I know it's a whole other talk show for another day. But you think about the stuff that you figured out that you understand differently now as a grown up.
Yeah.
Right. So continuing that and making that a part of people's adult experience, it's more than just taking in art because it's pretty. Then you're taking in art because it's reminding you of all the other, of all the ways there are to human. It's taking in art because it's going to remind you of those feelings that you have, those curious questions that you have, those awkward and majestic relationships that you have had. And it just reminds you that you're okay too. So yeah, that's what art does. So that would be my move as the art and cultures are, make that mandatory art consumption.
You know, Dasha, there was a story of a cable company that when people wouldn't pay their cable bill, they would just take all their channels away and just play C-SPAN. And then really quickly, those people paid their bill. So I think to enforce your policy, we would just convert people's TV internet feeds to the Common Council. You just have to watch Milwaukee Common Council. And it's like, oh,
and not when they're fighting either.
We're gonna do what Miss Dasha tells. No, you're gonna get a committee that's just trying to pass some sort of thing. Like that's about. Right. And it's like, oh gosh, I gotta go see a play right now.
All of a sudden, it's gonna be even more. Folks will start doing little plays in their backyard.
Yeah.
Will this count? Right. Will this count?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Awesome. Well, Dasha, we would fight to make sure there's a longer than 2 minute term, because that's we are on board with that. And Imagine MKE. But that being said, the power is our power. We don't ask for this power. We were just given to us by, Zoltar, right? You put the quarter and you gave us that power, like in the movie Big. So we don't ask, right? You just take it. And what we will commit to is carrying on the legacy of your term, which is to make sure that every Milwaukeean has access to those moments, be it in big, beautiful palaces or on the corner, with their neighbors, these moments. Yes. Of being touched by that, or on Brandon Minga's flatbed truck.
Hey, that's,
that's a first start. Watch that on Tuesday. You're good for two. We'll make that two quarters. You're good for two quarters. Dasha, thanks so much for being here. How can our listeners find you? Where can they find you? Plug us.
Absolutely. You can find me at DashaKelly.com, and on there you can find all of my socials. I'm Dasha_Kelly on Instagram. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. And if you go to my website, there's a little subscribe button. I send out these little notes called Dashnets once a week. So they're basically little vignettes, little stories, little memories of my life. And they're all 100 words exactly.
Oh.
So I send, and I appreciate the feedback, people going, you know what, this is a little breath of fresh air in my inbox. I don't know how I made it on this list, but I'm so glad that I have. And so actually I'll be publishing those. I'm doing a project with Kohler Arts Center this fall. And part of that residency will have a little tiny little 4x4. Remember bookstores?
Tell me more. Tell me more.
It'll be like those small little books that you see in the bookstore and in the checkout. So my little Life in Short.
That is quite an achievement to be associated with something positive in someone's inbox. And that alone should be the legacy of it. Like,
look at that.
Someone thought of you lovely. I'm like, oh, how nice. This lavender breeze that's come through my inbox. Thanks so much, Dasha, for not just being here, but again, for being you and making our city better, making our lives better through how you manifest your greatness. Thanks so much.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I can't wait to do Dish on Miss Dasha. I'm so excited for that. Because she's amazing segments, as well.
I love how new segments come together. That was so fun.
She's so gracious. It was such a treat. I mean, again, I kind of joked about it when you pitched, like, yeah, let's have Dasha again. And I'm like, we just literally had her. Like, is that weird?
Not on our show.
It's not weird.
Just in the network.
But in the network, right? But it's not weird because, she contains multitudes because she's amazing. She's an amazing, prolific, generative artist. And we're so lucky to not just have her, but that she spent time with us. And I guess for me, the one thing that continues to resonate is, I mean, I came onto the call a bit salty about how this DNC thing's playing out, right? And I think what you reminded me in your story time, but also listening to her, is that these are all great excuses for. What a great excuse to still have this conversation of what it means to be building something together, that we are all agreeing to be together in the word called democracy, but whatever word we call it, self-government, and to have artists like Dasha make the strange familiar and the familiar strange and invite us to rethink and reimagine why we're doing this again. And that's what I'm reminded of, and that's what's inspiring, because we're never done, right? We're just continuing and in some ways holding it for the next generation, hopefully doing our best as they come along and probably have better ideas and maybe better visions than what we did. Or I just might be a salty Gen X latchkey kid too. That just might be also as well. What about for you, David?
I hope future generations have better thoughts and better visions and better ways of doing things than we do, right? Because that will mean that things will have progressed. God, I hope people look back on us 100 years from now and like, why were they such idiots? We only have the best tools we have now. Anyways, yeah, you know, I thought how generous was it that she was able to just share with us how she envisioned the poem and how she put it together and the different segments of it and how it all sort of worked together. I think being able to have that kind of behind the music treatment was so lovely. I think the I've always sort of taken poems sort of on their face, right? Just a collection of really incredible words that sort of alight to a feeling, a notion, a thought. But just being able to see how she constructed the different pieces of it, and how each stanza is a sort of exploration of the idea of the road of democracy, and the process and the past, present, and future was just, I think, it was so rich for me to just sit here and listen to her talk about it.
We are grateful that you joined us, listener, to listen to Dasha, and we're so glad you came with us this week, and we hope you keep coming back to the Imagine This podcast. Be sure to rate us 5 stars, share a positive review, because it helps people find us. And you can email us at pod@imaginemk.org, and we'll be happy to talk about your email online. We didn't get any new viewer mail this week, so that's why we didn't get into it, but we'll comment on it, even if it is about getting planted with RFID chips and the Illuminati and whatnot.
Or you can talk about the road of democracy.
And we'd prefer you to talk about the road of democracy.
You can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram @imagine_MKE or Facebook @imagine_MKE. Mention the pod on social media and we will make you a #imaginary friend. Make sure you tune into Arts Forward MKE, hosted by Lindsay Sheridan and Black Imagination with Kamita Hickman and Antoine Carter. You can find them on our website or Apple, Google, Stitcher, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Be sure you head out today to check out the State of the Union in stanzas. And also while you're downtown, make sure you check out the Road of Democracy.
Then we'll talk to you next week.